This is Ananinkai K, and you are listening to Voice of the Water Lily, an exploration of our ancestral music and history. We will be exploring music through the lens of history and history through the lens of music. Music is the chronicle of our story and a testament to our interconnectedness. By understanding our history, we understand ourselves, our ancestors, and our world better. It is my belief that music expresses what the soul means to say, what words fail to express. So, mi gente, join me on this musical and historical journey. The most often repeated claims about Che Guevara are certainly along the lines of, and I quote, "He was a mass murderer. He killed for sport. He was known as El Carnicero de la Cabaña, a sadistic torturer, among many, many others." Wherever you look, by simply searching his name, mentioning its four syllables, or invoking his universally recognized image, you will find no scarcity of articles, books, interviews, documentaries, and social media posts announcing that all of this is true, based on the experiences of real Cuban exiles or their family members in Cuba. And if anyone disagrees, they are characterized as insane, uplifting a murderer, how that one PragerU video about Che put it, into sadistic thug worship, or simply a commie, 17-year-old socialist, or a stupid college kid. The many claims can become overwhelming. Then there's people on the other side, the left, with often the best of intentions defending Che from all of this. Unfortunately, these arguments can be riddled with fallacies and sometimes entirely missing the point. The response, "But it was a revolution, people die," is not an acceptable response to the claims that Guevara was a murderer. So today, we ask where the truth is in all of this. But before we get into questionable claims of mass murder, the arguments condemning and defending a revolutionary that has transformed and transfigured the world, we must talk about an unquestionable, real genocide. There needn't be any claims, propaganda, opposing arguments. It doesn't require much time to realize there's a genocide happening in Gaza. The figures at the time that I'm recording this bring the death toll to 30,000, assuming that the thousands of missing people, their bodies trapped under rubble, are dead. Starvation is an imminent threat. Dehydration is an even closer threat. There is no medicine, no anesthesia for people, many of them children that need to undergo amputations of limbs. Diseases are spreading rapidly. That's if the bombs do not kill first. Recently, I saw a video, in fact, of a stadium in Gaza where the IDF was holding kidnapped Palestinians, men, women, and children. All I could think about was Estadio Chile after the coup in 1973. That was 50 years ago when Pinochet's madmen rounded up, detained, tortured, and later murdered many of Allende's supporters. Today, it's Israel's madmen rounding up innocent civilians. I'm terrified to think what's happening to them. My mind goes many places, dark places. I pray none of what my mind conjures up is true. It seems that at least each week, if not each day, I see an image that completely breaks me down. This week, it was an elderly Palestinian man who had been released after having been kidnapped, detained, and tortured by the IDF. He was shaking from the horrors he'd been put through. I hate to imagine what was done to him. How many more are like him? But what I still can't understand is what kind of person is able to torture anyone, let alone an elderly person. I still don't understand how it's possible. This cruelty, this evil, I don't know what you call it, but I call it barbarity. I call it injustice. I say if you're saying anything other than ceasefire now, you have a problem. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. This is a genocide. It's a new year, but there can be no new beginnings, no celebration until this genocide ends. I often think about what Che would say about this genocide, or perhaps more importantly, what he'd be doing if he were here. But in reality, the words he spoke long ago and the precedents set by his actions tell us exactly what he'd say and what he'd do, perhaps telling us exactly what his spirit is saying now. Maybe if we listen closely enough, close our eyes, open our hearts, we can hear the words that fly around the cosmos and guide us towards justice. Maybe we can recognize Che's spirit when it appears to us. Maybe we aren't seeing Che clearly because we aren't really looking and listening. Let's get into the show. But not before yet another demand for a ceasefire, for justice, and freedom for the heroic, dignified, and selfless Palestinian people who suffer under the boot of colonialism, apartheid, and genocide. Before we get into today's show, we're going to hear a song, El Che, from Patricio Mans.
A bordo del pasado yo atravesé los páramos, los bosques solitarios, la vastedad salvaje. Un crepúsculo en llamas, el glaciar imperfecto, la dentellada pura del vendaval andino. Hasta este valle grande para encontrar al Che. Aquí caminó alzando sus pródigos vocablos, rehizo muchas veces los múltiples caminos, palpó el amargo musgo de las conciencias muertas y construyó en su carpa las luces auronales, las lides y los sueños de la victoria siempre. El orgulloso visionario, el gran demiurgo latinoamericano, el hondo capitán llamado a restaurar el orden de la vida, paciente como una semilla, se propagó sobre el tiempo y la memoria, se hizo alfabeto orgánico y rebelde, acrisoló los hornos del deber. Fue el Che el que despertó a los pueblos, llenando de altos martillos la mañana. Fue el Che el que levantó los cantos entre metralla y ráfagas de muerte. Fue el Che el que con su estrella ardiendo hizo estandartes del fuego que rugía, hizo constante el peso de la aurora. El Che escribió las leyes del futuro. Es la tierra, pueblo la semilla, pueblo el agua, la siembra, el viento y el molino. Pueblo es la letra, pueblo la ventana, la cosecha, la escuela, el canto y la palabra. Y suyos son los combates, suyos los deberes y el derecho incesante de alumbrar la tierra con el incendio de las cárceles. Pueblo es la tierra, pueblo la semilla, pueblo el agua, la siembra, el viento y el molino. Pueblo es la letra, pueblo la ventana, la cosecha, la escuela, el canto y la palabra. Y suyos son los combates, suyos los deberes y el derecho incesante de alumbrar la tierra con el incendio de las cárceles.
Pueblo es la tierra, pueblo la semilla, pueblo el agua, la siembra, el viento y el molino. Pueblo es la letra, pueblo la ventana, la cosecha, la escuela, el canto y la palabra. Y suyos son los combates, suyos los deberes y el derecho incesante de alumbrar la tierra con el incendio de las cárceles.
So, as always, when we do these shows, let's talk about what the propaganda is. Let's look at the claims. They say Che was a murderer, an assassin, who executed hundreds, maybe thousands. The numbers are actually never made clear. But here are a few numbers that I've heard in the course of my research. 123, 124, 216, 400, 700, 2,000, 10,000, 14,000, including 94 children. He murdered innocent campesinos without any due process and for no apparent reason. He was known as the Butcher of La Cabaña. He liked killing and didn't care about human life. He was a sadistic torturer, and suspicion was all that was needed to end a life. These are obviously ghastly and horrifying claims, and are perhaps the most often repeated claims against Che. We are told time and time again that he was a cold-blooded mass murderer who killed for sport and didn't care about human life. One blog even employed commendable Photoshop skills superimposing the famous El Guerrillero Heroico photo on a man holding a rifle in front of a pile of bodies, attempting to pass it off as concrete evidence of his butchery. Wherever you look, someone will be parroting these lines with some slight variations depending on who is telling the story. Since this is the worst accusation against Che, I believe that it deserves an in-depth response. So to address these claims, let's break it down into the three categories that are often mentioned. Direct victims, people that are said to have been directly murdered by Che. The executions that he ordered in Santa Clara and La Cabaña. So first we're going to talk about those supposed direct victims of Che Guevara. On the CubaArchives.org website, they list the following people as direct victims of Che. They also provide another list of executions that Che signed off on as he presided over the revolutionary tribunals at La Cabaña. I looked into each case where it was alleged by CubaArchives.org that Che personally murdered someone. Now, I'd like to make a note here. Multiple people on the Cuba Archives list are not named and do not have death dates, making it impossible to verify if they even existed or were simply invented. So, unfortunately, it really is impossible to know if two people noted as peasant collaborators ever existed. There's no death dates given. There's not even first names or last names given. So it's impossible to know if some of these people on this list even existed, let alone the circumstances of their deaths. So here's what I found, starting off with René Cuervo, who was executed in August of 1957. He was a well-known bandit who joined the rebels and then deserted with a gun he stole from them. Cuervo raided a marijuana plantation and murdered several people in the area using his involvement with the movement that he had deserted, the 26th of July movement, as an excuse. He was captured by rebels and brought into camp where Che ordered his execution. Che wrote, using the pretext of fighting for the revolutionary cause and executing spies, he simply victimized an entire section of the Sierra, perhaps in collusion with the army. Now, I'd like to keep in mind that even the U.S. military may punish desertion in times of war by death. Furthermore, Fidel Castro had drawn up a list of crimes and their punishments, with desertion being punishable by death, before the rebels even landed in Cuba. This was made quite clear to everyone who joined. This was really part of their rules of war. Cuervo knew this when he joined the rebels, yet he still chose to commit a crime he knew it was punishable by death. On top of that, he was using the banner of the 26th of July movement to basically commit all these crimes, to rob peasants and to do all kinds of other things. This was something that not only could tarnish their reputation, but it was also antithetical to what they were trying to do. Let's remember, the 26th of July movement was a peasant movement. Everything they did was for the peasants, was for the people of Cuba. So this was something, not only had he deserted, that was one crime, but also then terrorized peasants. This was well within their rules, the rules that they had drawn up for war, the ones that René Cuervo understood very well. And I'm not saying it was right or wrong, but we really do need to understand this in the context of a revolution. I'd also like to note that this is René Cuervo was listed on a list of people by Cuba Archives as someone who was personally executed by Che. That didn't happen. Let's also remember that these rebels really did not have access to do anything else with deserters and other criminals because there was no way to put them in prison or anything like that. This is, again, let's remember, this is a revolution. This is a time of war. And this kind of crime would be punished by any military in the world, including the U.S. military. It would be punishable by death in certain cases. The next one on the list is Chitro Osorio, who died on the 17th of January, 1957. He was an informant for Batista's armed forces. He was a foreman of a massive farming estate and he was actually known to torture peasants. Che wrote of him, Chicho worked for the Laviti family estate. The Lavitis had built an enormous fiefdom, maintaining it through a regime of terror with the help of individuals like Chicho Osorio, end quote. Osorio was incredibly drunk one day, so drunk that Fidel was able to convince him that he, Fidel Castro I'm speaking of, was an army colonel and demanded to know why the rebels hadn't been dealt with. Osorio began to say that he'd like to see the rebels slaughtered. Fidel asked him what he would do if he got a chance to catch Fidel, and Osorio described how he would like to torture him. He also told Fidel that he had murdered two men in the area because But because he was an informant, Batista's army let him go free. He went on to brag that he just slapped a few peasants who had, quote-unquote, disrespected him. Osorio also showed Fidel the boots he was wearing, saying that he'd take them from one of the sons of bitches we killed. Fidel immediately recognized them because they were Mexican boots, the same kind that all the rebels had been wearing. This confirmed that Osorio had in fact killed one of Fidel's own comrades. Because Osorio was so drunk, he then led Fidel back to the army camp, pointed out weaknesses in the defense, where the rebels led a successful attack that very day. Che, who recounted this story in his diary, called it the first victorious battle of the rebel army. Osorio died once shooting broke out. It has actually been suggested that Juan Almeida was the one who shot Osorio, not Che. But to be clear, it is also not proven that Almeida killed Osorio. Simply put, Che did not execute Chicho Osorio, and it's doubtful that anyone did. It's quite possible that he was just killed when the firing started, when this battle between the military and the rebel army ensued. But again, there is absolutely no connection between Che Guevara and Chicho Osorio's death. So moving on, we have Pedro Guerra, who died on the 26th of June, 1957. He attempted to desert and steal a gun and was subsequently executed. There's actually no evidence that Che killed him, and it was known to all rebels, again, as I said, that desertion was punishable by death. There's really no evidence, though, of any of Che's connection to this particular execution. Moving on, Aristidio. He's actually only noted by his first name, died in October of 1957, and Che wrote about this execution in his diary. It was also confirmed by Carlos Franchi that Aristidio had made his intentions to collaborate with Batista's army known. His execution was carried out to prevent him from betraying the rebels. However, again, there's no evidence, first of all, that Che absolutely did not execute him, and second of all, being a collaborator with Batista's army was a very, very serious crime. And he made those intentions quite clear to other rebels. And again, I'm not saying that this is right or wrong. I am saying that these are the rules of war. It was very well known to all the rebels that these were the rules. And so Aristidio was subsequently executed. But again, we cannot call this guy a victim of Che Guevara, because Che Guevara did not make the decision to execute him. He did not execute him. So saying he's one of his quote-unquote victims is really quite ridiculous. Next, we have a man also only identified by his last name, Napoles, who died on the 18th of February, 1957. He's only identified by his last name and is said to have been killed on charges of being an informant. The only source for this information, however, is Ramon Barquien, who vehemently opposed the 26th of July movement and was part of movements that sought to overthrow Fidel Castro. Che is not connected to this execution in any way, even according to Barquien. That is, of course, assuming that this is actually a real person, because there's no first name and really not many details here given about this man, and he's only cited in one book.
Adelante, que Cuba premiará nuestro heroísmo, pues son los soldados que vamos a la patria a liberar, limpiando con fuego que arrase con esa plaga infernal de gobernantes indeseables y de tiranos insaciables que a Cuba han hundido en el mar. Sierra maestra, monte glorioso de Cuba, donde luchan los cubanos que la quieren defender de un capricho miliciano que no ha de retroceder, porque tiene allí a la mano la fuerza para vencer. Pero si un venezolano, como yo lo pude ver, pudo romper sus cadenas, pudo su yugo romper, también lo puede un cubano, la unión no puede perder. el pueblo de Cuba, sumido en su dolor, se siente herido y se ha decidido hallar sin tregua una solución que sirva de ejemplo a esos que no tienen compasión. Y arriesgaremos decidido por esa causa hasta la vida, que viva la revolución. Sierra Maestra, monte glorioso de Cuba, donde luchan los cubanos que la quieren defender de un capricho miliciano que no ha de retroceder, porque tiene allí a la mano la fuerza para vencer. Pero si un venezolano, como yo lo pude ver, pudo romper sus cadenas, pudo su yugo romper, también lo puede un cubano, la unión no puede perder. Sierra Maestra, monte glorioso de Cuba, ayúdalo a vencer.
Was Sierra Maestra, a song by Daniel Santos. It became kind of an anthem for the 26th of July movement and for the rebels. Next, moving on, we have Filiberto Mora, who died on the 15th of April, 1957. He was discovered to have collaborated with Batista's army. He was confessed and executed. Che also wrote about this execution in his diary, but he was not involved in his death in any way and didn't even make the decision, didn't give the order or anything. So again, really farcical to call this guy a victim of Che Guevara. Next, we have a man on the list that was named Jose Martin. This guy was killed in September of 1957, and he was shot by Lalo Sardinas, purportedly accidentally. Sardinas lost his rank because of this and was actually nearly saved from execution himself. I honestly have no idea why this man was included in a list of Che's supposed victims. I really don't understand, because this man, Jose Martin, was shot by someone else completely, by Lalo Sardinas, yet how is this man being called a victim of Che Guevara? It really just makes no sense to me. Next, we have Elvisco Echeverria Martinez, who died in October of 1957. He was executed for terrorizing and robbing poor farmers at gunpoint. He was also not executed by Che, and Che did not order the execution. Next, we have Juan Lebrigio and Dionisio Oliva, who both died in October of 1957. Dionisio and his brother-in-law Juan were executed for stealing supplies from the rebels. They also used their influence as part of the 26th of July movement to commandeer peasants' homes so their mistresses could live there. They also stole cattle. Che did not execute them and did not order their execution. Next, we have Ricardo Aramis Chang Batista, also known as El Chino, who died on the 25th of October, 1957, was part of the rebel army, and he had become a police informant. Chang and his gang used their involvement with the rebels to terrorize and assault peasants. A lawyer and member of the 26th of July movement, Humberto Sori Marin, was present, and after the evidence was reviewed, Chang was executed. Let's also remember, once again, that Che did not execute them and did not order their execution. Let's also remember that in these cases, there was what you would call a summary trial. This is not ideal. This is not a good thing. And it's obviously not ideal, but they were in the midst of the revolution. They were a bunch of rebels in the mountains. They did try to, however, review evidence and try to come to their decisions in a way that will at least a bit more fair than the idea that someone would be accused of something and then just shot for it, like just because you said he did it, oh, that means he did it. like, that's a bit ridiculous to even think that any of that the rebels did that. I'm not saying that in all these cases these people should have been killed, that they should have been executed. I'm not saying that anybody should be executed. What I'm saying, though, is that it wasn't as simple as, oh, you were accused of something, then you got shot. And it certainly isn't the idea that we have about Che Guevara, that he was just going around shooting people that he thought deserted or just for fun. But to move on, now we have to talk about Utimio Guerra, who died, was killed on the 17th of February, 1957. In his reminiscences of the Cuban Revolutionary War, Che described Guerra as our guide Utimio, who at the time was indispensable to us and seemed to be the epitome of the rebel peasant. End quote. Guerra was a person of great confidence among the rebels and a trusted person. Guerra was, as Che recounted, apprehended by Joaquin Casillas. Guerra agreed to personally kill Fidel for the price of $10,000 and a rank in the military. He also informed the army of the locations of several camps, leading to the air attack of the main rebel camp, Pico Caracas, and the rebels being ambushed on a hill called Los Altos de Espinosa. As a result of this attack, a guajiro, a peasant named Julio Zenon Acosta, who Che had been teaching how to read, was killed. I would also like to mention that on these air attacks, Utimio Guerra was literally in the passenger seat, showing them where these camps were. Meanwhile, just before the attacks, Utimio had asked Fidel if he could go back to Havana and visit his ailing mother. Fidel granted permission and even gave him some money. When he was caught by Ciro Frias, Fidel showed Utimio an army safe conduct pass with his name on it, thus proving it was Guerra who had betrayed them. Guerra fell to his knees begging to be shot, saying he deserved to die. Ciro Frias, whose brother's death had been caused by Utimio's betrayal just days before, reminded him of everything they had done for him. After no one stepped forward to shoot Utimio, Che stepped forward and shot him. Che went on to write, he was asked if he wanted anything, and he answered that yes, he wanted the revolution, or better said, us, to take care of his children, end quote. The promise was kept, and Che wrote that his family would one day know why he had been killed, but also, it is also just that they know that the peasant, who in his craving for glory and wealth had been tempted by corruption and had tried to commit a grave crime, had nevertheless recognized his error. These words indeed show that Che found Utimio's ability to own up to what he had done worthy of mention. The next day, they buried Utimio, and Che recounted that they had carved a small cross in a tree to mark his grave. I find it essential to mention that this is the only murder or execution that there is any evidence that Che personally carried out. So his reputation as a, again, I underscore, mass murderer is based on the execution of one informant who had betrayed the rebel army. And again, I am not excusing any execution, but what I am saying is that this guy had committed so many grave, grave crimes according to the rules that this rebel army had drawn up and according to the rules that militaries around the world, no matter where you go, operate by. Because being an informant, betraying, deserting, and doing all of the things, I mean, let's remember, Utimio had literally agreed to kill Fidel Castro for the price of $10,000. This would be punishable by death in any army in the world, even in the U.S. military to this day. So I just would like to say that given the surrounding context, calling this even a murder is a misnomer and frankly incorrect. And it makes, even if you are going to say, it makes a very weak case at best. I'd also like to mention, Che also later wrote that Utimio's family later changed their names and actually wanted nothing to do with him because they were so upset and ashamed at what he had done and how he had betrayed the rebel army. But I will say, using this story to try to characterize Che Guevara as this maniac, total psychotic psychopath who just went around executing people just because he felt like it is really quite ridiculous. And what we're seeing from this list that Cuba Archives presented is, first of all, the majority of these people, not only was only one personally executed by Che, but the majority, Che had nothing to do with the executions, didn't order it or anything. And then the one, René Cuervo, who he did order his execution, the guy had committed crimes that were well known to carry the death penalty. Again, according to the rules of war that the rebels had drawn up and according to rules of war that many militaries to this day operate by. Now, I'm not saying if that's right or wrong. I'm simply just stating a fact. Journalist and member of the 26th of July movement, Carlos Franchi, asserted that the rebels did not execute more than 10 to 12 people during the entire revolution. I am not denying that the number of executions during the revolution could be higher. However, it is farcical for CubaArchives.org to attribute each of these cases personally to Che Guevara. I'd also like to mention decisions to execute traitors and informants, again, were not based on the opinions of one person. Evidence was looked at, and a trial was held by the rebels to the best of their abilities. Let's remember at the time, this is the middle of a revolutionary war, and then they basically votes were taken among these rebels to decide on the punishment. But it's really not how it's often characterized, that just basically these rebels were going around just shooting anyone just because they felt like it. And especially Che Guevara has this ridiculous reputation that he just went around executing traitors or people that he thought he was that he thought were traitors just because he wanted to, just because, you know, he had a bad vibe about them. It's really quite farcical to think about.
Silencio del monte va preparando un adiós. La palabra que se dirá in memoriam será la explosión. Se perdió el hombre de este siglo allí, su nombre y su apellido son fusil contra fusil. Se quebró la cáscara del viento al sur y sobre la primera cruz despierta la verdad.
Now let's talk about those extrajudicial executions in Santa Clara. Now, of the 2,900 people captured, soldiers captured after the definitive battle of the Cuban Revolution, the Battle of Santa Clara, only 22 are shown to have their executions ordered by Che. This number is also according to what has proved to be the highly inaccurate Cuba Archives website. And many of these claims can be disputed as well. It is a distinct possibility that some listed as having been executed in Santa Clara during this time were in fact not. For example, Conflicting information shows many dying years later. These individuals were well known, and there was mountains of evidence implicating them in heinous war crimes and torture. Many were high-ranking members of Batista's military or part of the Military Intelligence Service, which is basically secret police. For example, the head of the National Police Force in Santa Clara, Cornelio Rojas Fernandez, is described in glowing terms on the Cuba Archives website as coming from a long line of generals and working his way up the ranks to become head of the National Police Force. You'd really think that this guy was an angel if you go by this account. However, contradicting this glowing five-star review, Rojas Fernandez was a well-known torturer and murderer. Let's also remember that he is listed as a belligerent in the Battle of Santa Clara. He was not a civilian. He was a combatant that also never surrendered. So it wasn't like this guy surrendered and then was executed without a trial. This guy did not surrender. He was a combatant. And so given his reputation for committing war crimes and also the fact that he was a combatant, Che did sign off on his execution before leaving Santa Clara for Havana. Again, calling that a murder is really quite farcical, especially when we're looking through the lens of a revolution and all of these things, and also looking about at the kind of crimes that Rojas Fernandez had committed and the fact that he was not a civilian, he was not surrendered, he was a combatant, he was a belligerent in the Battle of Santa Clara. So again, this evidence, it really makes for quite a shaky foundation on these claims that Che Guevara was some kind of mass murderer.
Lo haremos tú y yo, nosotros lo haremos, tomemos la arcilla para el hombre nuevo, su sangre vendrá de todas las sangres, borrando la historia del miedo y del hambre, por brazo un fusil, por luz la mirada, y junto a la idea una bala asomada. ¿Y dónde el amor? Un grito escondido, pues ya los oídos serán receptivos. Su grito será de guerra y victoria, como un tableteo que anuncia la gloria. Y por corazón a ese hombre daremos, el del guerrillero que todos sabemos. Lo haremos tú y yo, por brazo un fusil. Nosotros lo haremos, por luz la mirada, tomemos la arcilla, es de madrugada.
There was Canción del Nuevo Hombre, Daniel Vigiletti, The Song of the New Man. Now let's talk about the claims that Che Guevara was el carnicero de la cabaña, the butcher of la cabaña. There is an often repeated claim, you can go and you can hear people all over the internet saying that Che was commonly known on the streets of Cuba as the butcher of La Cabaña. Now, to fully understand this, we need a brief summary of the Revolutionary Tribunals. The Revolutionary Tribunals took place between the 2nd of January and the 12th of June, 1959. 93% of the public voted yes to the tribunals. On the 22nd of January, Fidel Castro spoke to what is estimated to be some 1 million Cubans, asking all those who supported the ideas and processes of the revolutionary tribunals to raise their hands. Almost every hand was raised, and the roar of "Sí, yes," left no doubt that the Cuban people wanted justice for the atrocities that Batista's government had committed. It is estimated that 20,000 Cubans were murdered or disappeared by Batista's military or military intelligence service, secret police. Che once stated, "The executions by firing squad are not only a necessity for the people of Cuba, but also an imposition by the people of Cuba," end quote. Jurors also felt that people often wanted the war criminals to be handed harsher sentences than even the trial had agreed were necessary. Che's younger brother, Juan Martín Guevara, was present during the first months of the trials and recounted that he found them disturbing because the public was present at these trials and created a quote-unquote mob-like atmosphere. He made sure to note, however, that none of this was Che's fault, as he had a very clear role inside of these trials, and making decisions of guilt was not one of those roles, and he was not present during the trials. The tribunals, as Juan Martín also mentioned, followed the same procedures as the Nuremberg trials of Nazi war criminals had after World War II. There were prosecutors, lawyers on both sides, and a jury to decide the fate of the defendant. Evidence was presented. Victims and victims' families came forward and shared stories of horror that had been inflicted upon them by the defendants. In the worst cases of torture and murder, they might be sentenced to the death penalty. It's also important to note that no civilians received the death penalty for their roles, and in fact had completely different trials where execution was not an option. Executions only happened to military personnel in cases of horrific war crimes. John Lee Anderson, who wrote the definitive and most extensive book on Che Guevara, stated, quote, "I have yet to find a single credible source pointing to a case where Che executed an innocent. Those persons executed by Guevara or on his orders were condemned for the usual crimes punishable by death at times of war or in the aftermath, desertion, treason, or crimes such as rape, torture, or murder." I should add that my research spanned 5 years and included anti-Castro Cubans among the Cuban-American exile community in Miami and elsewhere, end quote. Miguel Angel Duque de Estrada, head of the Cleansing Commission, recounted, "We gave each case due and fair consideration and didn't come to our decisions lightly." Tribunal President Orlando Borrego recalled, "Che was careful. No one was shot for hitting a prisoner. But if there was extreme torture and killings and death, then yes, they were condemned to death. The whole case was analyzed. All witnesses seen and the relatives of the dead or tortured person came, or the tortured person himself." Borrego asserted that Che was careful when choosing judges and prosecutors. Anderson writes, "He went over cases with judges and reached final verdicts on the appeals coldly and neutrally, on the basis of evidence alone. For instance, rebels who had been mistreated were not allowed to pass judgment on their former torturers." End quote. In short, Che did not decide if these individuals were guilty and did not decide on sentencing. He simply reviewed evidence, verdicts, and appeals, as well as signed off on executions. The Cuba Archives website lists 84 people that they claimed were executed during Che's time overseeing the tribunals as his quote-unquote victims, making it seem as if he was judge, jury, and executioner, when in reality he was none of those things. Anderson only found evidence for 55 people having been executed at La Cabaña while Che oversaw trials there. This is corroborated by several sources, including actual jurors at La Cabaña. Propagandist Humberto Fontova contributed to the lies surrounding the issue, stating that 2,100 men and boys were murdered at La Cabaña by Che's orders. Che was not present at the trials and did not meet the defendants, taking only concrete evidence into account. In their book, Murder Incorporated, America's Favorite Pastime, Mamia Abu-Jamal and Stephen Vittoria write, "Che was conscientious and meticulous when ensuring objectivity," contradicting the accounts that Che personally executed people at La Cabaña. The evidence clearly showed he did not participate in a single execution there and was not present during executions. More erroneous claims about this particular issue include the following. Che had the wall of his office removed so he could watch executions. I find it interesting how the many people who worked with Che and would have been in his office failed to mention this small detail. Not a single person can corroborate this, and it's easily disproven. I mean, you can't just take the wall out of an old Spanish castle. It really doesn't work like that. Another claim was that Che brought prisoners out in front of the rest of the prisoners, had them tied up, and played Russian roulette with them. Not a single source has been provided for this. As explained earlier, Che did not take part in any executions at La Cabaña and was never present while they would take place. Now, we wouldn't call Lord Justice Jeffrey Lawrence the Carnicero of Nuremberg, so I think it's really farcical to call Che Guevara the Carnicero of La Cabaña. Also, as for the claim that people on the streets of Cuba were just calling him the Carnicero of La Cabaña, there's really no evidence for that either.
Aprendimos a quererte desde la histórica altura, donde el sol de tu bravura le puso seco a la muerte.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia.
Tu mano gloriosa y fuerte sobre la historia dispara. Cuando toda Santa Clara se despierta para verte,
aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia.
Vienes quemando la brisa con soles de primavera para plantar la bandera con la luz de tu sonrisa.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.
Tu amor revolucionario te conduce a nueva empresa, donde espera la firmeza de tu brazo libertario.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.
Seguiremos adelante, como junto a ti seguimos, y con Fidel te decimos, hasta siempre, comandante.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante.
There was Rey Cabrera with his version of Hasta Siempre. Let's move on to another one of these claims. Suspicion was all that was needed to end a life. That was another claim that Guillermina Sutter Schneider's 2017 HuffPost article, riddled with inaccuracies, propaganda, and straight-out lies, made. A passage directly from Che's reminiscences of a Cuban Revolutionary War shows just how farcical this is. In the chapter Death of a Traitor, Che writes, quote, "The Gallego José Morán left us at that time. By then he knew how little we thought of him. We all considered him a potential deserter. He had disappeared once for 2 or 3 days with the excuse that he'd been taken, that he'd been following Utimio and had got lost in the woods. As we prepared to leave, a shot sounded and we found Morán with a bullet in his leg. Those who were nearby later sustained themselves with many heated discussions on this. Some said the shot was accidental and others that he had shot himself so he wouldn't have to follow us." End quote. And in his diary, he wrote this of him after Fidel decided to send Morán to Mexico to bring back the other rebels that had been left there. Quote, "Everything I said about how dangerous it was to send a man like El Gallego, a confessed deserter with low morals, a charlatan, an intriguer, and a liar to the maximum, was useless," end quote. If all Che needed to end a life was suspicion, why didn't he shoot Morán then and there? He and the others considered him deserting and defecting a distinct possibility. As a side note, Che's predictions were right, and Morán went on to betray the rebels, defected to Batista's army, and quote-unquote, caused havoc after going to work for Batista's military intelligence service. He was killed in Guantanamo, however, under completely different circumstances and absolutely not by Che. This is just one example of Che letting a suspected traitor or defector live because he had no evidence they had committed the crime. One can argue his leniency was one of the reasons that he was captured and executed in Bolivia. That, however, is a topic for another day. Before we continue, I'd like to make a special note about a very special propagandist and author, Humberto Fontova. I know you hear me talk about him a lot, but it's just because he invented so much in his books, his propaganda. I like to call them propaganda manifestos. That book, The Exposing the Real Che Guevara and the Useful Idiots Who Idolize Him, is so, I wouldn't say it's riddled with fallacies. It more that it's all just one big lie. And I say this is not slander, because I have proven here, and I've proven in my other episodes, that what Humberto claims, what Fontova claims in these books, are absolute lies. Fontova claims that, in one of the more gross claims that Fontova made was that Che wrote once, I'd like to confess, Father, that at that moment I discovered I really like killing. It's claimed that he wrote this in a letter to his father. I mean, first of all, who sends a letter like that home to their parents? And second of all, this letter does not exist, and this repugnant quote was invented by Fontova. When reverse searching this quote on Google, all roads lead back to Fontova and exist nowhere but his imagination. In short, Che never wrote this, and I'm going to go as far to say that if someone could give me some credible evidence that Che said this, I'll be the first to admit that those are the words of a psychopath. I mean, are we really meant to believe that Che was just writing letters home telling his parents how much he liked killing people? I mean, seriously? Fontova also repeatedly uses stereotypes about Argentinians to constantly berate Che throughout the book. He refers to Che as bon vivant, mama's boy, poser and snob, murderer of women and children, intellectual and art lover as book burner and thief, sadistic torturer and a coward. The entire book is an ad hominem argument. It's riddled with logical fallacies, provides no real evidence for any of these claims. It really just kind of goes on this because I said so, or this is the story from a Cuban exile. That is literally all the only evidence that this guy gives, if he decides to give any evidence whatsoever. He just makes claims. He relies on so many unreliable testimonies, and all of them are actually high-profile counter-revolutionaries or people that were against the Cuban Revolution, and he has been discredited multiple times by multiple people. Fontova relies on hearsay and sometimes outright and entirely false claims, sometimes invented by him and sometimes invented by others. Fontova also makes the claim that Che lived in a lavish mansion in Havana. This was then repeated by an often-cited PragerU video. And I'm going to address this quickly and assert that this is also completely false. This definitely does not deserve its own show. Che insisted that he and his family lived just like everyone else in Cuba, and he even rejected a pay increase, insisting he had the salary of a common soldier. Fontova then goes on in his books to, I guess, play a little game of how low can you go, and employs the petty argument saying that Che's divorce from his first wife, Hilda Gadea, was because he wanted a quote-unquote upgrade because Eliza March was taller and blonde. He then goes on to insult Eliza March by calling her a trophy wife. Fontova again repeats the debunked and entirely false rumor that Che had an affair with Tamara Tania Bunke. And I'm definitely not going to speak at length on this issue, first of all, because I don't care. However, I find it important to be clear and say that there's not one bit of evidence, let alone credible evidence, that has emerged to show that Che was some kind of womanizer or he was cheating on his wife, Eliza March. John Lee Anderson asserted Che was, by all accounts, steadfastly monogamous in Cuba, despite the fact that women flocked to him like groupies to a pop star. One of his aides was at a social gathering where a pretty young woman blatantly flirted with him. Instead of being flattered or responding with gallantry or banter, Che primly scolded the woman, telling her to behave herself, end quote. In most cases, I really wouldn't address some rumor like this simply because, first of all, someone's personal life is not our business. I don't care how public they are. However, this is just used to cast doubt on his character and defame him and undermine him. And it's just ridiculous. And since it's untrue, I just wanted to mention it quickly here again. Don't want to spend too much time on it. But I just felt the need to assert that this is completely false. There's no basis in reality, and it's simply a way to slander him. And I also think it's probably pretty hurtful and offensive for his family to see such false, malicious rumors being circulated. So being part of those seeking the truth, I felt it's important to just quickly denounce that rumor. Another fake quote worth mention says, "At La Cabaña, all executions are carried out under my express orders." Che never said this, and the origins of this fake quote can be traced back to cubanet.org.
Bueno, el amor, dicen, tiene mil formas, mil palabras, y nunca se terminarán las palabras para descifrar esta cosa que nos maneja y nos mueve. Distintas formas, decía yo. como expresar un amor hacia una muchacha, hacia una madre, hacia un hijo, o expresar un amor más grande como este a un hombre que está en el corazón de toda la juventud del mundo, que ya casi no les pertenece a ustedes. Está tan dentro de todos nosotros también. Una samba canción para Ernesto Che Guevara. Cantando esta samba con redoble libertario, mataron al guerrillero Che, comandante Guevara. Selva, pampas y montañas, patria o muerte su destino. Selva, pampas y montañas, patria o muerte su destino. Que los derechos humanos los violan en tantas partes, en América Latina, domingo, lunes y martes. Nos imponen militares para sojuzgar los pueblos, dictadores, asesinos, gorilas y generales. Explotan al campesino, al minero, al obrero. Cuánto dolor su destino, miseria, hambre y dolor. Bolívar le dio el camino y Guevara lo siguió. Liberar a nuestros pueblos del dominio explotador. A Cuba le dio la gloria de la nación liberada. Bolivia también le llora su vida sacrificada. San Ernesto de la Higuera le llaman los campesinos. Selva, pampas y montañas, patria o muerte su destino.
That, of course, was Victor Jara live in Cuba singing Zamba del Che. Let's get to that claim that Che was a torturer. This is yet another baseless claim providing no evidence or supposed victims. One example Alvaro Vargas Llosa gave in his article The Killing Machine, which is often cited and riddled with false statements, half-truths, and omissions, was the following. quote. At other times, he would simulate executions without carrying them out as a method of psychological torture, end quote. This claim is based in truth, however, but it's taken completely out of context. After capturing and executing bandit, informant, and gang leader Ricardo Armariz Chang Batista, again, I talked about him earlier, three young members of Chang's gang were still in custody of the rebels, and instead of executing them, it was proposed by Fidel that they be taught a lesson in an attempt to make them change their ways. It was decided that they would conduct a mock execution. All three were blindfolded and shots were fired into the air. When they realized that they had not been killed, Che recalled, one of them threw himself on me and in a spontaneous gesture of joy and gratitude gave me a big noisy kiss as if I were his father. End quote. All three decided to join the movement and one fought alongside Che, proving himself to be a good member of the rebel army. Josa, trying to take a story of redemption and make it into a story of psychological torture, is a perfect example of the often used lies of omission employed by propagandists. I mean, taking something that is half true and then twisting it completely. One of the originators of the lie that Che tortured people was Armando Valadares, well known for being vocal against the Cuban government after being imprisoned for terrorism plots, such as placing explosives in movie theaters and stores. Unfortunately, this was not an uncommon occurrence after the revolution, as counter-revolutionaries engaged in terrorist acts against the government, often injuring civilians. He also worked with the military intelligence service. The Cuban revolutionary government also suspected he was a CIA agent before his imprisonment, and then afterwards when he traveled to the United States in 1986. Valadares, of course, provides no evidence for his claims. Now, in conclusion, far from the bloodthirsty maniac we are made to believe he was, Che's reputation as a mass murderer comes from him executing one person whose betrayal could have cost many others their lives and reviewing the evidence and verdicts in revolutionary tribunals that had overwhelming popular support. One could make an argument that executions were not necessary. However, they were carried out within the understood rules of war, and the executions of prisoners afterwards were carried out with due process and procedures established by the Nuremberg trials. But simply put, the case that Che Guevara was a butcher, assassin, and mass murderer is nothing more than an exhausted myth, decorated with omissions, half-truths, straight-out lies, and willful misunderstanding. This fictitious rumor has become widely accepted as truth, creating many misguided ideas about Che in an attempt to undermine his powerful legacy and impact. Before I go, I will once again affirm for the right to live in peace for the people of Palestine, for truth and justice, and for, as always, an immediate ceasefire. Con mucho, mucho cariño. Keep dancing. Keep on in your ancestors. Keep affirming for the right to live in peace. Fin al genocidio. Libertad, justicia para el pueblo palestino. Chao, mi gente.
Con soles. de primavera, para plantar la bandera de la luz de tu sonrisa. Y aquí se quedó la cara de entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Tu amor revolucionario te conduce a nueva empresa, donde espera la firmeza de tu brazo libertario. Y aquí se queda la clara confiable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Seguiremos adelante como junto a ti seguimos, con el pueblo te decimos hasta siempre, comandante. Y aquí se quedará clara la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.
Dancing, keep honoring your ancestors con mucho, mucho cariño. Chao, mi gente. If you like that show, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and leave me a voice message on Anchor. There is a link up in the description. You can also reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Voice of the Water Lily, or check out my blog, voiceofthelily.water.blog. You can leave me a message on any of those platforms. And please reach out. Let me know what you think of the show. If you have any suggestions, song requests, or anything, please reach out to me. And also, if I got something wrong and you want to correct me, please don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time, ciao.